So we're going to begin reading here at verse 18. And I hope if you're in this meeting tonight and you're saved, truly born again of the Spirit of God, I hope you understand that you are blessed. We are blessed. Far more, I believe, than we could ever really imagine and understand. Not be till we get to heaven, we'll fully appreciate it. In Kenya, people kept saying, God bless you. And I kept telling them, I am blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, God has blessed us in heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed. But really, if I was to give a title to this message tonight, it's this: Christ cursed, believing sinners blessed. You see, it was only possible for us to be blessed because the sinless, spotless Lamb of God took our curse upon himself. We're only blessed because he was cursed for us. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. How rebel sinners can be reconciled to a holy God. How there can be peace between us and God. The hostility can be done away with. And that's what the gospel's all about. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. It's as though God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you through this weak vessel of clay, through his word. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that is God the Father, for he hath made him, that is God the Son, to be sin for us. And then, speaking of Christ again, it goes on to say, who knew no sin, that we, who knew no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a mighty verse that is. I tell you, if you go through the rest of this week, you memorize that verse and you just meditate on the truths that are in that verse. It's the heart of the gospel. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You think of that. Made him to be sin for us. Lawbreakers like us. We were born in sin, living in sin, living under the curse of the law, defiled, guilty, deserving nothing but God's wrath upon us. And yet he was made sin for us. You know, I believe we have a very, very shallow understanding of just how vile and sinful we are in and of ourselves. Even the Apostle Paul, one of the godliest men we could read about, he says of himself, he says, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. We are far more sinful and depraved than we realize. And God is far more holy and pure and righteous and just than we understand. But I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand better. Help us to understand more. You see, you're not a sinner just because of some sins. Maybe one or two sins that's coming to your mind even right now as I preach. It's not just that that makes you a sinner. We need to realize that we have never, in and of ourselves, we have never done anything but sin. That's how terrible it is. We've never done anything but sin. Because the Bible tells me, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. None that doeth good. The Lord Jesus said, there's none good but God only. We are so far away. All what we think are our righteousnesses, the best things we can do, our best prayers in and of ourselves, they're filthy rags. They're not acceptable to God. They are corrupted, contaminated, and polluted. Our best efforts in worship, everything outside of Christ, is depraved. It's polluted with sin. I used to always illustrate it to the children and young people in Kenya. As one of the women would roll up her sleeves, she'd make a big, bake a cake with all the lovely ingredients. I used to tell the children, many of them hungry, maybe it wasn't right, you know, they were nearly drooling when you told them, taking lovely, best ingredients, all the nicest flour, and milk, and butter, and maybe some chocolate, and all those things, great ingredients. But I just read to them from Isaiah chapter 1 and how God sees us in our sin, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that haven't been cleaned or bound up or mollified with ointment, oozing pus. Then I would go on to tell the illustration that the head teacher has asked for all these ingredients and someone to bake a big cake and it's been put on the fire and baked and all those beautiful ingredients. Anybody like one? A piece of that cake? And they would all have their hands up. And then I'd say, there's something you don't realize, something you don't know. The one who baked that cake was full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, oozing out pus, pieces falling off them. And they were taking all those ingredients and baked. Who wants a piece now? You know, that's just a picture of us and our sin coming to God with our best efforts. All the ingredients of religion. And prayers and going to church and paying money. They're lovely. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves. But the moment we touch them, we pollute them and corrupt them and contaminate them in our sin and defile them. And all our righteousnesses are just filthy rags before God. And we come to God with our religion and say, look how good I am. It makes God sick the way eating a piece of that cake would make you sick. It's not just that you have committed a few sins. We have never, in and of ourselves, done anything but sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 tells me, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are totally depraved, absolutely deserving God's wrath. And I truly believe most people have a very, very small understanding of just how sinful we are. And when something bad happens, they can't understand how did those people deserve that. We should not be alive. The wages of sin is death. Justice cries out for every sinner to be cast into hell immediately. And nothing, nothing, nothing but the mercy and grace of God has allowed you to live to this day in your rebellion and sin if you're outside of Christ. Nothing. His mercy has been new every morning to you, holding back what you deserve. And it's my prayer that tonight God's amazing grace will bring to you the very thing you do not deserve, His salvation. We are guilty. We deserve the wrath of God. And I tell you, when God the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you and striving with you, you'll have no argument with that. Even when I was only 4 and a half, one of my earliest memories, I was convinced I'm a sinner. And I deserve to be punished for my sin. I didn't know very much else, but I knew that. And you couldn't have talked me out of that. I knew it was true. And I realized my only hope of salvation was found in Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. It's the same tonight. It's the same for you. And sadly today there are so many trying to save themselves. Mixing up the ingredients. Making God sick. Rejecting His Son. Despising what He has done. And you think of this text of Scripture. You think of how wicked and vile and depraved we are. And yet He, God the Son, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. For us. That is, for the sheep. I want to be faithful to the Word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. He died for His sheep. He made a full, complete atonement for them. The elect. The good shepherd gave His life for the sheep. I don't know who they are. Thank God for that. My business is go and obey the Master. Preach the word to every creature. Preach the gospel. With this complete assurance, His sheep will hear His voice. And they will follow Him. I don't need to know any more than that. And I thank God tonight. Those of us, and I hope you can thank God tonight. If you're in Christ, you're not boasting in anything you have done, anything you have ever done or can do. Our boast is in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. He who knew no sin, He who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, is made higher than the heavens. He who knew no sin took our place. That's a glorious thought. Think about that. That's what took place on the cross of Calvary. I heard an illustration recently, and I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message. And I don't know, maybe it'll help us a little bit, this illustration, to just have a better understanding of just how sinful we are. And just how pure and how perfect and how harmless and how undefiled the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm not going to do this right now, but if I was to take three people up to the front and I was to put one of you right in the corner and that person was to represent the Lord Jesus. And then the other person was to stand the way down as far as you could get in that corner and you were to represent, that person was going to represent one of the most evil, wicked people we could think of that ever lived. Let's say Hitler, who murdered millions of Jews. And then, let's say for argument's sake, we had the most godly person who walked the earth following their salvation. We could think, I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul. Let's say that person represented Paul. Where should Paul stand? In and of himself, in his own morality. Where should he stand in relation to those two? Where should he stand? One of the, outwardly speaking, most holy people, religious people you could ever get. Where should he stand? Who should he stand closest to? I tell you, he should stand very close to Hitler. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Apart from Jesus Christ, there's not a lot of difference in all of us. I used to tell the prisoners when I was preaching in Kenya, I says, people look down their nose at you, but I want to tell you, you are here because you have been convicted of one sin. Just one sin you've been convicted of, and that's why you're here. We're guilty, all of us, of countless sins. Countless sins. Guilty before God. For those of us who are saved tonight, here's a thought for you. The moment we die, the moment we enter into the presence of our Lord, we'll be given glorified bodies. And we will be like Him. And there'll be no more sin. Where will we be placed then?
we will be right with Him. For we will be like Him.
What a glorious thought that is. I bless my heart as I was preparing this message. I want you to turn back quickly, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just a few verses I want to read to you there. Again, just so that we will really understand tonight how we are apart from Jesus Christ, apart from Him, apart from His perfect righteousness. Deuteronomy 11, look at verse 26, please. And we'll read down to verse 28. Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Have any of you kept all the commandments of the Lord your God? Absolute obedience is required for this blessing. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Obey God's word and be blessed. Disobey God's commands and be cursed. Turn over there, you're in Deuteronomy. Turn over, please, to chapter 28, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28, that's here again, the word of the Lord. And this is a very solemn passage of Scripture. And every one of us here are guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all lawbreakers, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We tonight, make no mistake, outside of Jesus Christ, are under this curse. We have broken God's command. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who was born without sin. He's the only one who lived an absolutely perfect life on this earth. Absolute obedience to the law of God. And so we are blessed in Him. Because the blessing is upon the one who keeps God's commands. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are cursed. No hope apart from Him. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. We read down to verse 23. Listen to this. This is the curse that's upon every person who ever lived on this planet apart from being saved and in Jesus Christ. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You think you have escaped them for now? They'll overtake you. You reject Jesus Christ, they're coming. You live and die without Him, they will overtake you. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your children. And the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until He have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, and with fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Then come down, please, to verse 33. The fruit of thy hand and all thy labours shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and cursed always. And for the sake of time, down to verse 45. I'm going to read verse 45 and 47. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Why? Because thou hearkenest not. That word hearkenest there can be read, did not listen. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. You see, what's the greatest commandment? Greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. That's the reason for all these curses. We are under God's curse. Apart from Jesus Christ, you and I will be cast eternally into the flames of hell. That's what we deserve because of our sin. There's only one person who's ever lived on this earth who has loved the Lord our God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength, every moment of his life. And that is the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That is the Lamb, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. And he, God the Father, hath made him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin. That guilty, vile sinners like you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is Jehovah, said Kenyu. He is the Lord. Our righteousness. You know, I pray God will help me and every person who would stand in this pulpit and in our pulpits to preach only this book, to preach only Christ, to lift him up. Because I want to tell you, as Romans 1 says, it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it's the righteousness of God we need. He's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the standard. The righteousness of God. Absolute perfection is the standard. Nothing short of that will be allowed into heaven. I used to ask people in the doors going around the homes in Kenya. Many of them never been in church. Many never heard the Bible read in their life even once. But they knew there was a God. They knew the Bible was the Word of God. They looked around. They could see there's a Creator. They understood about hell and heaven. I don't know. They had heard little bits, word of mouth. And I used to ask them, and I ask you now, if you die tonight, why would a holy, sin-hating God allow you, a vile, wicked sinner, into his perfect heaven? Why would he do that? When justice cries out for you to be punished in hell. And if your answer to that is because I go to Market Hill Church, or because I read my Bible, or because I pray, or my mother and father prayed for me, they're godly people. I tell you, you will be in hell. If that's what you're trusting in. Because salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. It's his righteousness alone that you need. Nothing can wash away our sin but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born in sin, and all these curses that we have read about should justly fall on the covenant breaker. That's the word of God. Every one of these curses should justly fall on the covenant breaker. That's you. And that's me. That's what we deserve. That's all we deserve. People came to Jesus about some people and they were killed and their blood was mixed with swine's blood in the temple. And he said, are they very wicked people? Jesus says, no. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. You're just as bad as them. You deserve the judgment of God to fall upon you just the same as them. We're all guilty before God. Not one of us have any hope in and of ourselves. We can do absolutely nothing to save ourselves. But God, in His sovereign plan and purpose, has provided a way for guilty sinners to be saved. He's provided a way in whereby God can be just and at the very same time the justifier of the ungodly. That's what Calvary was all about. So that God could be just and at the same time the justifier of the ungodly. I asked you at the beginning of this meeting, when I read those blessings, how is it possible? How could God bless ungodly, wicked people and remain holy and pure and just? There was only one way. Only one way. Someone else had to take our place. Someone else had to live that spotless, perfect life and establish an absolutely perfect righteousness for us and therefore qualify to be the spotless Lamb. Qualify to go to the cross. And there our sin laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father poured out His wrath upon His own Son. Isaiah 53 verse 10 tells me that it pleased Him, God the Father, to crush His own Son. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him, to put Him to grief. Why did it please Him? Because our sin was laid on His own Son. And He saw our sin and He crushed Him in our place. We sang that hymn. I hope you were listening to the words of it. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for Thee. But Thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. He took our curse. Christ cursed, believing sinners blessed. I tell you, we need to meditate and think of how blessed we are. And as you think of how blessed you are, always remember you are only blessed because Jesus Christ was cursed for you. He took our curse. He took the hell that our sin deserved because every sin must be punished by a holy God. If even one single sin of yours goes unpunished, God will cease to be just and righteous and holy. Every single sin, you think of that, every single sin must receive the full force of divine justice on that sin. I tell you, God is holy and pure. We have a very small understanding. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And the Bible tells me He is angry with the wicked every day. And yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You know, we should perish. But if we believe in Him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Galatians chapter 3. It'd be good for us to turn to that passage. Galatians 3 and verse 13. How appropriate this passage is in relation to this message. We need to see this verse. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Listen to what it says. And think of our text. He's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. That is his people, his sheep. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Christ hath redeemed us. He made a full payment for his people with his own blood. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been reading about the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. We need to think about these things. You should not go through a whole week and not think about these things. May God help us to meditate on this. Think about this. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The curses and the wrath of God that should have fallen upon us, the covenant breakers, fell on Jesus Christ, the only covenant keeper, the only one who ever kept the law. And yet the curse fell on him when it should have fallen on us, the covenant breakers. I was reading one of the Puritans. I hope you like reading. I really encourage you to get into the Word and even read church history and doctrine. I was reading one of the Puritans. His name is John Flavel. Or Flavel, I don't know. Flavel, I think it's pronounced. He was an English Presbyterian pastor. He lived between 1628 and 1691. And he wrote what we could describe as an imaginary conversation between the Father and the Son, set in eternity past. Remember, the Word of God in the book of Revelation tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. And Flavel wrote the Father's bargain with the Son. And as I read these words, you will see that it's based on the doctrine and teaching of Scripture. The Father speaks, "My Son, here is a company of poor, miserable souls that have utterly undone themselves and now lie open to my justice. Justice demands satisfaction from them, or will satisfy itself in the eternal ruin of them. What shall be done for these souls?" The Son speaks, "O my Father," and her sister Helen was singing, "Does anyone care for us like Jesus?" The Son speaks, "O my Father, such is my love too and pity for them, that rather than they shall perish eternally, I will be responsible for them as their surety. Bring in all their bills, that I may see what they owe thee. Bring them all in, that there be no after reckonings with them. I tell you, the Lord Jesus paid every debt." I don't know if the boys and girls sing that wee chorus. "He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt that I could not pay. Bring in all their bills, that there be no after reckoning with them. At my hand shalt thou require it. I will rather choose to suffer thy wrath than they should suffer it. Upon me, my Father, upon me be all their debt. Has anyone ever cared for me like Jesus?" Think of this. And I tell you, this is the teaching of Scripture. The Father responds, "But my Son, if thou undertake for them, thou must reckon to pay the last mite. Accept no abatement. If I spare them, I will not spare thee." That's solemn. It pleased the Lord to bruise him,
to put him to grief. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ so loved us, and he set his face as a flint to Jerusalem. And he said, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And all that you gave me, none of them will be lost. I want us to think about this. If I spare them, I will not spare thee. And the Son responds, yes, Father, let it be so. Charge it all upon me. I am able and content to undertake it. You know, I was thinking of that verse in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We just read that verse in Galatians chapter 3. God the Father, I tell you, you could put it like this. One preacher put it like this. God the Father saved us from himself, by himself, for himself. God the Father saved us from himself. It's God you need to fear, sinner. It's God you need to fear. It's a fearful thing. We stand guilty before him. We're under the curse. We are covenant breakers. Nothing but mercy keeps it back from you. But thank God tonight I can tell you of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And it's his righteousness you need. And our sin was laid upon him. If even one sin were to go unpunished, he would not be a holy God. Just in closing, and our time is more than gone, but I don't make any apology for that. You see, out in Kenya, people sit on the floor in the dirt on wee stools made of the awkwardest pieces of wood for 3 hours, rejoicing in the Lord and his word. And I've come back from Kenya to find that people complain because the service goes on for 10 minutes past the time. And you know what else they'll complain about? When a film doesn't last more than an hour and a half. Somehow wicked, ungodly film. If it's only an hour long, sure, it's only a wee short film. That was no good. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Do we really love the Lord and his word? We should be rushing to the house of the Lord. I trust that prayer meeting will fill up. Because when that prayer meeting fills up, you know what? These pews will fill up. May God break us down and give us greater love for him and for his word. I want us now at the close of this meeting just to come right there in our mind's eye to Calvary. And think of the cross of Calvary. And think of the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners, laying down his life. And he's kneeled there to that cross. And he's battered and he's bruised and there's blood running from his body. But that physical side of it that we're seeing there in our mind's eye is nothing. Nothing compared to what really took place. Because many thousands died by crucifixion. Many of his followers years to come sang as they went to be put to death by crucifixion. But as we come now and we stand in our mind's eye at Calvary and behold the Lamb of God, we see the cruelty of men exhibited there at its worst. We see the love of God exhibited there at its very best. And then there's 3 hours of darkness. Right at midday. Out there in the Middle East, the bright sun, midday. It goes black. It goes dark. And I believe the laughing, mocking crowd stop laughing and mocking when they see the lights go out at midday in the Middle East when the sun's at its brightest. And God's Son is hanging there on the cross. And God clothes his own Son, his only Son, the Son whom he loves. You just think of those words of Abraham when he's told to take Isaac, his son, his only son, the Son whom you love. And you have to see there a picture of Christ. But God provided a ram. But there on the cross of Calvary, God puts out the lights. There's something too
serious taking place for men to behold. God clothes his own son, his only son, the son whom he loves in darkness. And in that darkness, divine justice for our sin, the curse of the broken law is poured out upon Christ, the sinless one. And the fierce wrath and the unrestrained, unabated anger of a provoked God for our sin falls without mercy upon his own son. And he takes our hell on that cross. That's what happened at Calvary. For God so loved the world, God commendeth his love toward us. Think about this. We can come to church and go home and not think about these things. God pours out his wrath without mercy. Who does he pour it out upon? The mocking Jews? Did they deserve it? The Roman soldiers? The people standing around? You and I? No. On his own son, the Lord Jesus, laid down his life for us. It fell upon him. It fell upon the innocent Lamb of God. We're going to close by reading from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 1. I believe, and I tell you, I came to this meeting tonight believing God had given me a word for you tonight. I believe in the prayer meeting God had given me a word. And I believe now that God, the Holy Spirit, has been speaking in this meeting. There's some of you in this meeting tonight and you know that you're not saved. You have been despising God's so great salvation, and nothing but his mercy has kept you alive. You get what you deserve and you will be in hell. That's all any one of us deserve. And yet God is gracious. He gave his son and the son went willingly to die. And I want you to hear these words. And for me, it's as though Christ is speaking from the cross of Calvary. It's as though he's speaking out from the cross here. And he's speaking to you. Lamentations 1 verse 12. And verse 13, the beginning of verse 13, listen to these words. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord, wherewith Jehovah hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones. You know, fire normally goes up. Every sacrifice, every lamb that was slain and put on the altar, the fire came up and consumed it. But as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung on the cross of Calvary, the fire of God's wrath fell upon him. And every one of us here in this meeting tonight are truly saved. Thank God we are on redemption ground. We are on that ground where the fire has already burned itself out for our sin. It will never burn there ever again. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ tonight? Lord Jesus Christ loved you. And he gave himself for you. He made him, God the Father made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I trust you'll come to him, because Jesus Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's an amazing thing. Leprous sinners. And yet if we come to him, he'll cleanse us and make us clean.